It happened about a year ago. Actually, wait, what day is today? What? You don't say. That means it was exactly a year ago to this very day. Well, I was at another logging camp, not too far from this one. And it was late. Kind of like tonight. The campfire had died down. And I'll be honest, I had been hitting the bottle pretty hard, so I needed to go take a leak before crawling into my tent for the night. I took off a ways, and I was looking for the perfect tree to relieve myself upon when I heard something in the brush. I spun around, not wanting some wolf or something pouncing on my back. You know, that's what almost killed Sam over there. Yeah, see him? The guy with the hat? Go ask him after I finish this story about the wolf. He'll tell you. Anyway, so I spun around and nothing was there. I waited, listened for a bit, but after a while my nerves settled and I turned around to take care of some business. And then I heard something step on a branch and I spun around again, but there was nothing, I tell you. I slowly started to turn back, and then I spun around just to see if I could catch something, and I managed to see something kick up some dirt right next to a tree. I cursed it out, thinking it was some jackass from camp trying to spook me. Took a few steps towards the tree, when out of the corner of my eye, I saw something big zip on past me behind another tree. My hair stood on end as whatever it was, that thing was fast, and as I turned my head, it was already behind something else. I heard something move, and I spun around again, but I couldn't see anything. And then I felt something grab me from behind. The thing had gotten me, but in my surprise, I let out a big old burp. And suddenly it dropped me to the ground and ran off. I realized that my drinking had done saved my life, and the smell of the booze had scared the damn thing off. So I took out my flask, took another sip, and laughed. Because, after all, my name is Rick Kitagawa, and this is the Inner Monster Podcast. The hide behind is a quite unusual creature, and the thing about it is that because of its speed and ability, it hides behind things, thus the name. So whether it's a tree, a bush, a rock, or the person actually trying to view the hide behind, this nocturnal beast was known for hiding behind things. And no one has ever seen one of these creatures and lived to tell about it, mainly because it constantly hides behind things, and with its speed and agility in stalking its prey, everyone who comes across it is whisked away to its lair to be devoured. And it is said that the hide behind particularly likes to eat the intestines of its human prey, but thankfully for the alcoholic enabling culture of North American logging camps of the early 20th century, the hide behind doesn't like alcohol, so if you're constantly drunk, you'll have no fear of being abducted by one of these flighty creatures. The hide behind is actually part of a larger pantheon of creatures known as the fearsome critters, which are all creatures born of the tall tales from these lumberjacks' campfire stories. Often, a tale of an encounter with a fearsome critter, like the hide behind, would be told as a way to explain why a logger might have gone missing and never returned to camp. The other creatures might be used to jokingly or seriously explain other various unexplainable phenomena at the time. But what I find super interesting is the way that these stories would often be told to initiate or haze newcomers. One veteran lumberjack would start off innocently mentioning a fearsome critter, piquing the curiosity of the newbie. Then another person would join in, telling their own account, and these two storytellers would play off each other, building up the story until it was difficult to tell fact from fiction. They would play off the audience, and this process of expert storytelling is the type that I love whenever anyone tells a great story. And so regardless if they were able to actually convince anyone of the validity of these outrageous claims, I find the process of the storytelling itself to be the most admirable part about this. And that brings me to what I want to talk about today, the idea of focusing on the process. I totally understand that results are important. It makes sense that we need to deliver on expectations, ship the project, make the money so we can make the rent. So it follows logic that our society is overly focused on goals. And we have tons of tools out there to help us achieve our goals, from apps to books to examining goal setting and building habits to reach those goals. There's motivational podcasts to inspire us, coaches to help keep us focused, and timers on our phones and computers to keep us from getting distracted. And this makes sense, as we all want the end result. We want that medal, or house with a white picket fence, or that award. And it's why in films we have training montages. We want to fast forward through the steps and the time it takes to completely reinvent ourselves and go straight to the part about winning. But I assert that while this sort of nose to the grindstone goal setting can be effective, especially if that goal is a singular one, I throw myself in the camp of people who believe in putting process first. I think that by focusing on the process instead of the result, we actually will enjoy our lives more, and usually the results will naturally follow. To give you a more concrete example of what I'm talking about, let's look at the world of competitive skee-ball. For all you international listeners, or others deprived of this magical game, skee-ball is the original version of the game, consisting of a long ramp that you roll hand-sized solid balls down. The balls sort of then launch off the end of the ramp and into different rings, with various point amounts associated with the ring size and placement. And this is generally seen in carnival midways or in family-friendly arcades, but I play in Brewski-ball, which is an international league of competitive skee-ball players that plays, as one might guess from the puntastic name, in bars. Anyway, in the past few international tournaments, I've managed to place in the top 16, and while this is generally pretty impressive, I personally still hunger for being the best in the world. I initially decided that being the best in the world is my goal, but I'll be honest, those above me are really damn good, and beating them is no small feat. That said, I could either keep getting frustrated by not winning the championship or not even making the top 8, but instead, I choose to focus on the process of continually improving. At the end of the day, it's a competition, and even if I do get an amazing score, if the person I'm playing against gets an even higher score, there's not much I can do about that. And by going back to the reason I started playing skee-ball, the sheer enjoyment of it, and the community, and focusing on consistent personal improvement, I usually find myself improving as well. By exercising, improving my form, experimenting, practicing, learning from other rollers, and studying the psychology of high-performance competitors, I can lean into the process and enjoyment of practicing something I love, and I'm pretty confident that I'll make progress towards being the best in the world at some point. And I choose to win regardless of the outcome of a match, as long as I can embrace the process. So whether you're looking to build a new startup, or learn watercolor painting, or finish a difficult class, or achieve anything, really, if you're only looking at the finish line, you're ignoring the fun of the pathway that you're on right now. Dean Correll, author of Mastering the Basics, talks about how true mastery of things is achieved by practicing the basics until they're truly second nature. In a conversation, I asked him what advanced skills look like, and he told me that advanced skills is the ability to use all of the basics so comfortably that you can then shape them in your own individual style and circumstance. I totally agree with this assertion. Not to lean too much on skee-ball for this episode, but at the end of the day, it's really a simple game. You roll a ball down the ramp and have it go into the hole you want it to, and then you repeat that 8 more times. However, the mastery is doing so under the intense pressure of an international tournament, knowing your match is being recorded for perpetuity via livestream. Plus, there's people from different cities cheering for your opponent, and you might be playing in an unfamiliar city or venue, and different rollers have different strategies, and keeping track of score differentials and risk-reward ratios to manage. Additionally, you play multiple frames of the game, so that repeat 8 more times actually becomes repeat 89 more times for every single match. At the end of the day, it's just rolling balls into holes, but it's under these hyper-individualized circumstances that leaning into the basics, focusing on the process of it all, really pays off. And I don't expect that you're a skee-ball enthusiast like I am, but I do assert that there's probably something in your life that's challenging. It could be dealing with a difficult coworker, or building trust with your boss, or getting better at a video game. Whatever it is that's challenging you, I invite you to think about what processes you could rely upon to really move the needle for you. Is it studying negotiation to help persuade your coworker that them leading moldy Ziploc bags in the break room isn't helpful to anyone? Is it taking a class from Spotlight Trust to upskill oneself in the area of building trust? Is it hiring a video game coach to help you improve? Maybe it's studying others, or watching videos online, or reading books, or reaching out to peers and mentors. Whatever the case is, improvement always has a process behind it. And if you're looking too far out into the future, you'll miss the enjoyable part of learning, staying present, and seeing those incremental wins. And those incremental wins are really important, as the path you might have chosen might be incredibly long. It's easy to lose sight of the gradual progress you've made if you're looking at something 5 years down the line. Especially if there are any setbacks or backsliding, if you're only looking at your goal, these can be incredibly frustrating and discouraging. However, if you're trusting the process and enjoying it, then these hurdles aren't quite so scary, nor are they as monumental as they seem when you're only looking at the end goal. And these smaller steps can compound upon themselves. And I assert that if you lean into the process, you may not necessarily find yourself at your goal faster, although I think you probably will, but you will definitely find more happiness along the way. So where in your life can you really focus on the process? How can you not wait for the end of the journey to find happiness, but find it along the way? That's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Inner Monster podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to check out all of our other episodes wherever you get your podcasts, or visit innermonsterpodcast.com. And if you feel so inclined, please spread the word and share this with a friend, or leave a review, or subscribe to get the podcast each week, every Inner Monster Monday. And now, a quick word from our sponsors. If you want to hear Inner Monster podcast episodes before anyone else, consider joining my Patreon at patreon.com/rickkitagawa, where you can get ad-free episodes, discounts on creepy art, and even coaching packages. That's patreon.com/rickkitagawa. I hope to see you there. Thank you so much, and I hope you have a monstrous day.